don't quite know how to bring this one across this morning, God be with me in the deliverance of it. I was looking at it through the weekend. We've been studying about the significance of blood. Well, I put that online on a sermon audio. I think the first day I put it on last night, I couldn't sleep last night. And I put it on last night about 1:30, 2 o'clock. When I got it on this morning, I looked up and had 45 downloads so far on it. Sometimes it's the wording of what we're saying or what we're doing that makes a difference. The title of this morning's message, God's Holy People Being Washed in the Blood of the Lamb. It pertains to our subject of regeneration. And I don't know if you listened at the one from last week yet, those that wasn't here, King David being washed in the blood of the Lamb. See, because it deals with our ideology, our concept of God. We're living in the last days, in days when people cavalierly listen at every gospel, every evangelist on television, and they get the wrong ideas and they get the wrong meaning of what the gospel truly is. And they go back and they blame the pastor and the teacher because they want them to reconcile what everybody else is saying with what they are hearing. Instead of focusing in on what their pastor or what their leader is telling you. And then if you hear something that comes along, a preacher or whatever, you root it in the word of God. I'm not saying not listen at any other teachers or not. That's fine. But the Bible does say be not many masters, because you're prone to error if you're not wise and strong. And see, the ideology of what's going on in the United States, in this nation right now, it's prevalent across the whole world, and that is stick your chest out. That pride, that want to revile, that always being competitive, never wanting to lose, allowing the Lord to fight your battles. It's self-centeredness. You want to fight your own battles, but you cannot. The battle is the Lord's battle. If they've done it to him, they'll do it to us. So what's the significance of the blood? The blood is there. It redeems us. It reconciles us to God. And that's why we must drink of his blood and eat of his flesh. Not mere cannibalism, in which Christians understand it. Those are the people of God. So what we have to do is just what the Jews rejected, and that is they rejected a suffering Messiah. Yes. They didn't think Christ would come and suffer and die for the sins of the world. Even old Peter, in which God had revealed to him that thou art the Son of God. But when it come time for you to suffer, when it come time for the saints of God to suffer, what did Peter say? No, Lord, that shouldn't happen to you. Now, he had just said that Jesus was the Son of God, but then he didn't trust Jesus when Jesus said, well, he was going to have to go and die, what the people were going to do to him in Jerusalem, because this society don't like to suffer. They don't like to lose. It looked like a death on the cross that was a loss, but it was a victory. That's where the victory was won. In weakness and in allowing himself to die, he laid down his life for us. That's significant. That blood that was shed is very significant. We must be immersed in it. We must be covered in that blood. We must be washed by that blood. I told you our scripture text was coming from Revelation, the 6th chapter, 11th verse, and the 7th chapter, and the 3rd verse. For time's sake, I'm not going read it at the introduction here. But you're in for it this morning because, like I said, David was washed in the blood, but David had David suffered. The things David went through. Do you know Job was washed in the blood? But Job lost all his children and he lost everything. But he was washed in the blood. So that blood must be some kind of suffering. It must put us in identification with Christ. That's what reconciles us to God. His reconciliation ministry. And that's what we should to be, types of Christ. When reviled, we shouldn't revile again. The reason I say that you shouldn't try to take vengeance, is I will read in Scripture, the book of Romans 12, chapter 19, verse. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave the way open for God's wrath and his judicial righteousness. For it is written in Scripture, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So we're to go around loving our enemies, standing for God, keeping the word of his testimony. But that's what's going to cause your death. That's what why you're going to be bathed in the blood. If they did it to the green tree, they'll do it to the dry tree. Yes. Mm-hmm. If they did it to Jesus, if Cain did it to Abel, right now you're looking at two good men, Jeff Flake and Corker, whatever, Bob Corker. Those men stood up for principle and integrity. And they're being eaten alive by this society, by the beast world system. And I say that because our nation, our governmental system has become a beast world system. But what should we do during that time? We're living in Babylon. We're living in a government and a time today that has become cruel. It's become vindictive. It has become oppressive. It has become one of the most lying systems in the world. No liars go in or in now. What should we be doing? We should be crying for prayer, for redemption. This is a savage government that we're in. Daniel lived in a savage government. Jesus lived in a savage government time. They took him out and hung him on the cross. He did nothing but good, but what was his reward? They hung him on a cross. The fifth seal in the book of Revelation, the sixth chapter, the 9th through the 11th verse. It says, when he, the Lamb, had broke open the fifth seal, this is John the Revelator, that's seeing this, that being showed to him. He said, I saw underneath the altar the souls of those who had been slaughtered because of the word of God. Why did they die? Sticking up for the truth, but sticking up for God's word, and because of their testimony, which they had maintained out of loyalty to Christ. Now, we will have to learn what a testimony is. The testimony of Jesus Christ. We have to have a testimony. And see, our testimonies are not refined yet. You know, I love to hear a good testimony, but it's hard to hear a good testimony. Because a testimony flows from what you're suffering, what you're going through. It's like I heard a sister the other day telling one of the brothers, say, well, look, when you pray, if you're not praying what you're suffering, something that you have felt, we can't feel that because it's just by the letter of the law. It's something that you're just saying or read. But if you hurt him and you have love, if you have passion, people can feel that love of passion. People can feel your suffering. But we're in a nation where people don't have empathy anymore. They can't suffer. They don't know the words to tell people that are suffering because they can't identify with that. They're insensitive. They've drawn back. He says, they cried in a loud voice saying, O Lord, holy and true, how long before you will sit in judgment and avenge our blood on those unregenerate ones who dwell on earth? In other words, these people have caused me to lose my job, lose my children, lose all kinds of things. They're trampling over my property rights. They're trampling over everything that I care for. How long is this going to go on that the doctors, even the doctors, go oppress me? That none of my rights are being avenged. I'm crying. When he says cry out, these souls were praying unto God. See, because they didn't take justice in their own hands. They left it in God's hand. They was trusting. They had faith that God was going to do something. It says, resist the devil. Submit yourself unto God. So they are resisting. They hadn't gone along with it. These two senators, they didn't go along with the status quo. They didn't go along with the people of their own party. Bill Maher was talking about that. We living in a day, did you know patriotism in some forms and shapes is wicked? Because if you stand loyal to a party of government and not loyal to God's truth, then that's wicked and evil. The truth is right no matter who it is. Don't care if it's governor, president, mayor, wife, husband, children, parent, whoever. The truth is the truth. You have to stand in the truth. You can't say, well, that's my brother and I'm going down with it. Don't stand with anyone that's lying. Don't stand for anyone that's being degraded. You stand for the truth. Steadfast and immovable in the truth. That's what prevails. That's why they killed Jesus. Jesus' own family didn't like Jesus because he says, those that do the will of the Father, they're my sisters and brothers. Nationally, we should stand for what's right, not just for a flag, not just for a model, not just for a political party, not just for your race, not for your creed. You stand for the Savior, the word of his testimony. You love God and you faithful to God. That's where your loyalty was. You know, you used to die in the old days if you didn't pledge loyalty to Caesar. Well, we can't be loyal to Caesar. We need to be loyal to God. Steadfast, immovable. He says, then they were each given a white robe. That's a covering. And they were told to rest and wait quietly for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brothers and sisters who were being killed, even as they had been, were completed. God's working the work. You can lose a lot. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. You know, you will go through this life day after day. A lot of time, it looks like living a monotonous life. It looks like sickness won't end. It looks like poverty won't end. It looks like trials and tribulations. He said, just rest in the grave if necessary, because they're going to run over you, but you have trust and confidence that it won't be like this all the time. There's a better life. There's a better time coming. I won't have to haul around with bad knees. I won't have to sleep under a CPAP machine. I won't have to use oxygen. I won't have to use a wheelchair. I won't have to count on you, somebody else, doing this and doing that, because the Lamb's going to make it where I can lie down and still pasture. He's going to give me my peace and rest. That's the testimony I have. And I have faith and I trust in that. That's what I'm looking for through all the trials and tribulations. The cause of all this, he comes in and consoles them. He has consolation for those that were suffering. A noble cause, the best that any man can lay down his life for. And he laid down his life for us when we were yet sinners. We need to stand for noble causes. I listened at the speech that Jeff Flake, Senator Flake, gave the other day. He says, I wouldn't be able to face my grandchildren, my children's children. I wouldn't be able to face anyone else if I didn't stand for the integrity I have lived for and stood for all my life. I'm going to resign this job, but it was one of the youngest senators. Usually in Arizona, you stay in there till you die. You know, it's 40 or 50 year gig there in Arizona. But he said he would rather not run. See, because principalities come first, the principle of the thing. Instead of going in cahoots with what's popular, what's going away from God, the Antichrist government that's against God, he would rather say, well, no, I'm going to suffer loss. You're going to have to sacrifice something. That's the blood. You have to be washed in that blood. It's not fun. Sometimes you lose a lot of popularity. You lose a reputation. But you're going to have to stand. These people want to remain, but they're going to be cruel to them. And people still lashing out. Our leader's still lashing out. And that's petty for a leader to continually to lash out after his subjects. It would be petty for me as a pastor to lord it over the sheep and continually to mock them. After whipping your children or whipping a child or whatever, you don't mock them and persecute them and still talk about them. You don't call anybody out of their name. That person has a name. Call them their name. Don't mock. Don't go into an ad hom argument. We have to stay above the fray. As Christians, we have to address. I address each and every one of y'all as brothers or sisters, and I treat the elder as fathers of my mothers, and I treat the younger as I would my own. We have to have a modicum of respect for one another. We have to love one another. Even our enemies, we have to treat them with respect. He says, love your enemies. That's the testimony. That's displaying Jesus Christ. And he said he would give, if we're doing this, if we're being bathed in that blood, like I said, it has to come natural. You have to feel this. You can't just tell people this and people don't see that you're not real. See, the thing is nowadays, only the Christians can understand and see that this is not real. This nation is not real. The people in this world are not real. Jesus is the only one real. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Don't get entangled. The people of Jerusalem, the people that went to Babylon, they got so entangled in Babylon when it was time to go back home, they didn't go back home. They had got wealthy in Babylon. They had got comfortable there. They wasn't coming out from among them and being separate. We can't get attached or entangled in this world's affairs. He said he will recompense tribulation to those that trouble us. So that's our rest and our peace. He gives us a peace, an inner peace that we can't lose. No man can take that peace away from us, because we know he's going to resolve the issue. And that's why our faith lies, that I don't have to lie awake at night trying to learn how to get even with somebody. Being bitter, being envious or jealous. Because what God has for me, I'll receive that. My faith is in his word and in his promises. That's where it lies in. That's why my emotions, I'm not on an emotional roller coaster, because I have that even keel in Jesus Christ. And whatever's going on, I don't murmur and complain, because as David learned when he was being washed, he says, the Lord must have bid him to curse me. Whatever happens to you, God is our Father, and we should receive bad at his hand just as well as good. But if you go around murmuring, why me? Why am I always sick all the time? Don't you think that God knows what's best for you, and that nothing you're going through that he's not having his hand on? He has his hand on everything that comes in your life. You have to see him as sovereign. You have to see him as a righteous God, as your Father, in that Jesus Christ as your brother, that you are joint heir with him, and he loved you with the same love he loved Jesus. No affliction is coming up on you that God is not in. If you're in the fire, he's in the fire with you. Whatever you're going through, whatever mistreatment that's happening, God's going to avenge that. That's where your hope is. If you lose that hope, you walk around miserable. If you lose that Redeemer, you walk around angry and upset instead of cheerful, like your God is dead. See, but we know that we serve a living God. Don't walk around like he's dead. He is alive. He is the God of the living and not of the dead. So whatever my circumstances, you will see me trying to console somebody else, trying to lift somebody else up. But if I'm going around like I ate a sour pickle or something else, and like it's cloudy and there's no hope, maybe serving the wrong God. God doesn't come and go. He says he'll give you of the Spirit, which will not leave you. He will not depart from you. He gave us of that Spirit. He says, when you're lonely or sad, sing songs, sing hymns. But you have to be in the Word to be able to do those things. But if you're praying, you have to be able to pray God's Word to get it right. That's how our prayers are answering, because we love his commandments and do his commandments. So the second point would be preaching the gospel. Go ye in all the world, teaching and making disciples. If we find ourselves comfort, consoling one another and telling one another what God's word says, we'll get stronger. The book of Daniel, we'll see these people suffering tribulation. They had been carried off to Babylon, and God was telling Daniel what the end time would be, what it would be like in our days. that it's going to get harder. You think it's bad now, Habakkuk? It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. So cheer up. God's with you. He can bring you through this. Daniel, the 12th chapter, the 1st through the 4th verse. It says, now at the end times, Michael, the great angelic prince, who stands guard over the children of your people, will arise. And there will be a time of distress such as never occurred since there was a nation until this time. The great tribulation. The seventh week of Jacob. That's going to be hard. Trial and tribulation is coming up on this nation. This nation has to pay for what it has done. Just like Babylon had to pay for what it... Every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense or reward. If you've done somebody something, what you've sown, you're going to have to reap. You need to stop sowing that. Sow joy, sow happiness, sow peace, sow speaking good words. That which will return unto you. You remit those people's sin back to them. Don't hold those sins. Don't abhor them in your heart. It says, and there will, but at that time, your people, everyone who is found written in the book of life, will be rescued. Now, the rescue may come in deliverance. You might be studying God's word. You might be actually living God's word, and God has a purpose in your life to where you go testify. Or you might be one of the great financial givers of the church. You might not can do anything else, but you can pay tithes, and you do contribute to the church. You may be a person that prays for other people, a person that comes along and people love to hear you in church, and you just encouragement of being there. You may be raising a godly family. There's a purpose, reason why each and every one of us are here. He says they will be rescued. But see, there will be some that will lie in the grave, because there will be some who've given up on life. There will be some of God's children that are not overcoming. There will be some of God's children that are starting laying up money for themselves and for their children and not contributing to the house of God. Well, God can move those. He can lay those out, because you come to a point where you sing against God. And before God allows you to sin away and continue along this path, he'll take you out of the life. He took Job's children out of life. He took all of Job's children, but Job still counted those children. See, because there's a point where we have to overcome sin or be overcome. Instead of being overcome, God removes us from life. So he says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the ground will awake and be resurrected. Those are the ones that I told you aren't, you know, they're carelessly tithing to God. They're carelessly witnessing. Well, their life is enfolded into themselves. They're not telling anyone about God. They're not being an example of godliness. So the tree is just cumbering the ground. What are you living for? What are you doing? What purpose are you serving? Are you just breathing, eating, and sleeping? Are you telling? Are you investing? Is God using you for anything? So some of those he'll allow to sleep because their time of service is over. But he will resurrect them. I'm not saying that he won't resurrect them. He says he will resurrect them. They'll rise up to everlasting life. But some to disgrace and everlasting contempt and abhorrence. Now, there will be those in the church that die that will come to a resurrection. But those will be the ones that will die the second death, because they weren't the obedient ones in the church. They never was born again. Those are the ones who had done the things in Jesus' name, but he will say, I never knew you. Yes. See, you have to have a living faith. You have to have a faith that's actually living. God has to initiate this in you, and you have to be doing for God and walking in God. Those who are spiritually wise will shine brightly like the brightness of the expanse of heaven. And those who lead many to righteousness will shine like stars forever and ever. But as for you, Daniel, conceal these words and seal up the scroll until the end time. Many will go back and forth and search anxiously through the scroll, in other words, through the Bible, and knowledge of the purpose of God as revealed by his prophets will greatly increase. So toward the end of time, knowledge will increase. Many people will go from church to church or place. See, but you could acquire knowledge, but lack the wisdom and understanding to apply that knowledge. You can know the Bible. The devil knows the Bible. They say the demons believe and they tremble. See, that's why I don't want to get off on a tangent of y'all just studying the Word and studying it, knowing a whole lot of Bible, but you're not living it. You have to be a doer of God's Word. So you might not could absorb but a little bit, but the little bit that you absorb, you're putting it to use. You put not to use that. Ain't no use sitting there studying it day in and day out and never use it. It's just sitting up on the shelf. It's by exercise of use as you get strong in the Bible. It's by telling of others and preaching the gospel to others that you learn the Word of God. That you learn to use it, that you learn boldness, that the Spirit grows and increases in you. That your faith and belief in God is ever in, and you will get brighter and stronger. He's going to give you more words. The more you step out on faith, the more you step out on his word, he's going to continue to flow. That it's going, he says, any man hunger or thirst, let him come unto me and drink, and out of his belly, in other words, from his internal being will flow rivers of living water. You'll be able to inspire others. You'll be able to go about, and everything you say would be in your God's word, because you're being bathed in the word. No matter how many times they knock you down, you inspiring others to get up and fight the fight. That inspired me, Flake, in corporate the other day. It gave me hope to see the majority going against us. And they say, I won't bow and I won't be and I won't go along with it. I'd rather get out of the car. We read that about how did the car get stuck on the cliff. Get out of the car if it's stuck. If your people stuck, your family stuck, your political party stuck, your church stuck, get out of the car. And don't stay stuck with them in the ditch. You get up and you serve God. You continue pressing on toward the mark. That's why Paul had to leave Trophimus behind sick, because it's not saying that Trophimus wasn't a good evangelist, a disciple, but his time was over when he had served his purpose. See, sometimes we try to hang on to things after its use is over with. Sometimes we have to throw that away and press on toward the mark. That's why you go to some people's house, it's full of clutter and junk. All that stuff you used back then, you'll never use it again. You'll never wear them small pants and shirts and dresses you got there. You'll never use this stuff. It's just junk and clutter. And you go rent storage houses and everything to put this in. You're wasting money. Move ahead. Press on in Christ Jesus. Go to a new adventure. Sometimes you have to leave friends behind. You have to leave family behind. You have to, he told Abraham, get away from your people, because some people love to be stuck in their little rut, hearing their pity parties and, oh, woe is me, and misery and complaining. And you get tired of that. Before people get on your nerves, you need to move on. The everlasting gospel. That gospel is life. His words is life. Revelations, the 7th chapter, the 1st through the 3rd verse. We still need to be bathed in his word. You have to be covered by the blood. That's where the atonement comes. He says, after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth. So this covers the earth. The gospel covers the earth. Now these two men, they can talk about truth because they're not being hypocritical. You know, I used to have a little confidence in the Republican Party, but now, you know, I don't watch the news as much or watch other things because it's over with. It's over with for the Democrats and Republicans. It's over with for the nation. God has to step in here because these men no longer have integrity. And the rest of them, that I was reading to where that budget deficit that they had signed is over $2 trillion. That's what the deficit, and these hypocritical, lying men at one time said that they were deficit hawks and they needed a balanced budget. But can you imagine them signing a $2 trillion deficit? These are the ones that shut the government down because they said it was over a couple of hundred million. But now they're signing a $2 trillion deficit. How can you have confidence in such as this? Could you have your bank account running in the negative where you continually bounce and check, where you continually in the red? They would shut it down. Somebody has to shut that down. He says, now this is worldwide. It's from the four corners. Wind is a sound, is a symbol of destruction, of blowing of a destroying spirit. He says, holding the four winds of the earth, that the winds should not blow on the earth. Why shouldn't we allow this destruction to come? It says, not on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel descending from the east, having the seal of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom was given to hurt the earth and the sea. God had given these angels power to hurt the earth and the sea now, to cause this destruction. But listen to what this other angel says. Abstain from it. Don't do it right now. Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. God mocks his people. God mocks his people. That's why you never give up hope for your children. Destruction is not coming. God has his people mocked. They won't be destroyed. We read that in Ezekiel. We read that in Isaiah, that he mocks his servant before destruction comes. That's what the Holy Ghost says. That's your seal. That's the earnest of your inheritance. See, that's part of the promises, that God won't let anything happen to me until I've completed all he has to me.
Amen.
No height, no depth. Nothing's going to separate me from the love of Christ. And I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I'm here for a purpose. He has chosen me from the foundations of the world. And he's given me that principle, that he's given me that spirit. He's given me that blueprint day by day. I see through a glass darkly, and I don't see the whole picture. But each day is full of hope for me. Now, there will be judgment upon the people that are doing you wrong. That's why I was telling you, I say, hold my preaching and teaching. And I was worried about people that hear, and there was a sister here. I say, now, hope that I didn't offend, you see, because blessed is he that offend not in word or deed. We have to be careful with our words. You shouldn't go around being offensive to people. Now, if the word of God offends you, that's a whole different thing. But let me say this also. Are you sent to preach or teach what you teach it? See, some people go in the scriptures and use it as a hammer, a blundering rock to hit people over the head and make people to feel bad. See what the word says? Are you doing that? That means you ain't right. You're condemning the people. You trying to bust them over the head, and God may not have given you that finesse. God may not have given you that word to convict, the conviction of the Spirit. You know, Christians run more people off a lot of time than they get saved. How can you clean a fish before you catch it? If they're not in the church, if they're not under your authority, how can you boss that person around? How can you have authority to tell them, if you're not a member here, how can I have power of authority over you? If you're not married, it says a husband is what? Over his own wife. He ain't over everybody else's wife. Equal to go tell another woman what he's telling his wife. She could say, you go jump in the lake. You don't have no power over her. I don't have any power over other people. Sure, they have power over my children. That's what God gave me power and authority over. We have to watch the power where it's delegated. Revelation, the 6th chapter, the 12th through the 17th verse. He says, that this is my third point, the judgment of God. You remember when we say God's going to take vengeance? So you should know how to walk in God's word and walk in God's way and allow God, give place for God's wrath. Give God a chance to take care of your enemy. Don't you do these things. Are we there? It says, and I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Here goes blood again. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island will move out of their place. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks, saying to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Here comes destruction. That's a lot of symbolism in there that we're not going to tie this morning. But that's being shaken. Everything that's not on a firm foundation, that's not up on that chief cornerstone, that's not up on Jesus Christ, will be shaken. The stars of heaven, the popular people, all those people who have been building with rock, stubble, and hay. That's the day of dread, the day that they feared was coming. You remember I told you it's going to come a time when every knee shall confess Jesus Christ, but then he shall be removing the wicked at that time? How many popular stars in the last couple of years, especially in recent weeks, have failed because of money or women or whatever? The well-known men of renown, just as it was during the times of Noah. Shaken. See, God's shaking it. If the foundations be shaken, he's shaking the foundations and pillars of society. Just about everybody at Fox has been some kind of sexual allegations or some kind of fall they have experienced. Heard one of the commentators or one of the men the other day, Bill O'Reilly, they had settled $32 million with women for he had sexually molested. And they still renewed his contract. This is a man after being caught molesting women and doing all these things, harassing them, said that he was mad at God. He was mad at God. I was listening to Lawrence O'Donnell the other day, and he had the thing, the recording on where he was, Bill O'Reilly was on 60 Minutes or some program, saying that God had did him wrong, that God, he was mad at God for allowing this to happen to him. Isn't that something, Jonah, that you're mad at God? You remember I told you about murmuring and complaining? Maybe he should have kept his hands to himself. Maybe everything that's done in the dark will come to the light. There is a time of judgment. Every sin and transgression shall receive its just recompense or reward. It's going to happen to religious leaders also. It's going to happen to politicians. But he still has to leave the Judas goats in place. It's a lot of people that are still doing these things. But the reason God allows these things is so that they can help purge or wash out those that are not firm in the faith. See, because there are a lot of people that are undercover, but we must allow the wicked people to help expose these people. You know, the politicians, if you notice that they're fighting among themselves, it's exposing who they are and what they are. The churches are fighting among themselves. But that's what we see in Revelation. And he says he's going to fight against the church. Because what happens is the church that we have to realize that they're bad players in the church. That they are false professors in the church. This has to be shaken loose. There are people not living up to the vows that they vowed, and that's because they don't respect the blood. They don't respect the blood that had been shed to them. They don't actually see the significance of that blood, that an actual man died and gave his life for you while you were yet in your sin. And that you think this is a light thing and you're living for self. You're still selfish. You're not seeing that the only way that you can accomplish the purpose he has for you is to deny yourself of the lust of the flesh, of the lust of the eye, of the pride of life. The only way you can do this is to lay down your life, to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow after him. whatever problems and trouble you have, it's better for your wife to be mad at you. It's better for your children or your parents to be mad at you. It's better for your boss or someone else to be that you doing what pleases God. If he's not first, you have a problem and you're going to be forever. And he told David that when his children mess up, he was going to chasten them with the rod of men. That's why a lot of us having the problems we have. God's chastening. And every son that he received, he marks, he scores. God wants you to be blessed and be in prosperity and abundance. But he's going to whip you for crossing that line. He's going to chasten you now. And he's going to chasten you in his own way. And I was talking to someone the other night. You know, it's a lot of religions and a lot of churches. They didn't got selfishly. We'll go over it. Because I didn't do all the scripture. I don't want to get bogged down in it. They got a way of crossing God and getting what they want and telling people that they should fast for it. That's another bandwagon that's going along. Because now you telling God how to manage your life. And there's no scriptures. You don't have scriptures in there where God commands us or tells us to fast. They only fasted once or twice a year. I think that was on the day. I'd have to look it up on there. But there were only one. And so God said, who were you fasting for? It wasn't for me. It was for your own pleasures. But that's how Americans are. That's how this nation is. We want something. We're going to fast God and you're going to have to give it to us. That's not Bible. But many of people are following that. Don't pick up these habits. These are the doctrines of the Pharisees. You know, the Pharisees started out as separatists, and they were trying to be pure, but gradually they were infiltrated, just like Americans have been infiltrated, and they started doing things that they shouldn't do, and teaching things they shouldn't teach. That's why he said, do what the Pharisees say, but don't do as they do, because their doctrine has started to contain leaven. You know, when the United States was first formed, and it's supposedly a religious nation at that time, it was against the law to celebrate Christmas. It was pagan. They wouldn't allow you. Usually during this time, I give you literature and stuff on it. But it was pagan. They wouldn't allow you. It was against the law to celebrate Christmas. Why? Because it's pagan. But now this culture, they're trying to make it so you say Merry Christmas and all these things. That's pagan. It is pagan to the core. But, see, they think that when they persecute you for not doing that, that they're doing God a favor, not knowing that they're operating in ignorance, and they want you to operate in ignorance. Nothing to do with God at all. Nothing at all. Tribulation. Tribulation and evil powers. I got 4 points this morning, I think. It's going a long ways. Let me start on this fourth one. We will have experienced tribulation, y'all. We will go through great tribulation. Daniel, the 31st through the 39th verse, 31st through the 39th verse of the 11th chapter, tells you about systems as we have here. Systems of the world that would take over. When you hear beast and all these things, you're talking about governmental systems that has aligned with religion. Those are Antichrist systems when that happens. It says, his army will take over the temple fortress, pollute the sanctuary, put a stop to the daily sacrifices, and set up sacrilegious objects that causes desecrations. He will flatter and win those over who have violated the covenant. Those who violated the covenant, the ones who went over. That's the false church. That's the religious. That's the religion we see here in America today. There are two Jesuses. Paul warned us that there would be two Jesuses preached. Those are Antichrist governments. Those are Antichrist Jesuses. He says this is another gospel, another Jesus that's being preached. Those are the people who are forsaking the true covenant. But God's people who know their God will be strong and will resist him. That's like Corker and Flake. You have to be strong to be able to resist what's coming up on the earth. Wise leaders will give instructions to many, but these teachers will die by fire and sword, or they will be jailed and robbed. During these persecutions, little help will arrive, and many who join them will not be secure. There be a many that join the church and come into the church that are not secure, but are looking for safety from what's coming upon the earth. They'll be fleeing from away from around the trouble and afflictions, but not for love of God. They're not sincere about religion. He says, and some of the wise will fall victim to persecution. Listen at this carefully, please. In this way, they will be refined and cleansed and made pure until the end, the time of the end, for the appointed time is still to come. The king will do as he pleases, exalting himself and claiming to be greater than every god, even blaspheming the God of gods. He will succeed, but only until the time of wrath is completed. For what has been determined will surely take place. He will have no respect for the gods of his ancestors, or for the god loved by women, for any other god, or for he will boast that he is greater than them all. Instead of these, he will worship the God of fortress. He'll be a military man. He will want to go to war with everybody. He will think power is the key to it all. Think about that. Think where that fits at today. And lavished on him gold, silver, and precious stones and gifts. Claiming this foreign God's help, he will attack the strongest fortresses. He'll depend on countries like Russia, which in the Bible is Gog and Magog, which don't actually believe in God. But he would want to make alliances with countries like Russia and those other countries, because those are Antichrist systems. He will honor those who submit to him, appointing them to positions of authority and dividing the land among them as rewards. In other words, those that's loyal to him, he'll give high positions in government and authority. He'll give them great riches. He'll give them things. Those that's loyal to him, not to God. He wants their loyalty. He wants their loyalty. God's going to allow this power to come upon his holy people. He's going to allow this shattering of his holy people. The 12th chapter of Daniel, the 7th through the 10th verse says, the man dressed in linen who was standing above the river raised both his hands toward heaven and took a solemn oath by the one who lives forever, saying, it will go on for a time, times and a half time. When the shattering of the holy people has finally come to an end. You remember in Revelation I said, until you be killed or you be persecuted or destroyed, the same as your brother. When the souls on the altar say, how long will this go on, Lord? He said, for a time and times and a half. So it's in Revelation and in Daniel that this will occur, that you'll see God's people look like they're losing this battle. Yeah. Do it look like we're losing the battle now? It looks like it. But you remember I told you, God's strength is in weakness. Yeah. God prevails strongest when it looks like it's worse. Yeah. I heard what he said, but I did not understand what he meant. So I asked, how will all this finally end, my Lord? But he said, look, Daniel, go now, Daniel, for what I have said is kept secret and sealed until the time of the end. Many will be purified, cleansed, and refined by these trials. These trials have a regenerating effect. This is the blood being washed in his blood and washed by the word. So this is blood washing the saints. You will have these things go on. So don't think it's strange. But the wicked will continue in their wickedness, and none of them will understand. Only those who are wise will know what this means. So the world can't see this. And it's happening right before their eyes. It's going on, and they're not aware of it. So our conclusion is, if you want those white robes, and all of us who have been washed in those white robes and by the blood of the Lamb were given this covering. Jesus Christ is that propitiation. He has appeased God. He has made atonement for our sins. And if we take heed to him, continue in his word, continuing that spirit, subjected to that spirit, where the Holy Ghost is leading you and guiding you into all truth. That's what the Holy Ghost is for, to lead you. If you be led by the Spirit of God, then are you the sons of God. Then are you the sons of God. Revelation 7, chapter the 9th through the 17th verse is what we close with. This is consolation. This is the promise from God. These are the words, and this is what's happening. But you must be wise. In other words, this was shut up from Daniel. You remember he said, "Shut it! It's shut up, Daniel. It's secret. But it'll be revealed in the last days." He says, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and languages." What? It wasn't a superior race. It wasn't just one race. Every nation, every tribe, and every people. There are no superior races. There are no Jews and Gentiles. We all have one Father. One Father. Many nations. Many nations. He said, every nation and tribe and people and language standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, "Salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever." Then one of the four elders asked me, "Who are these who are clothed in white, and where did they come from?" Who are these? And he said, "Sir, you are the one who knows." Then he said to me, "These are the ones who died in the great tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple, who sit on his thrones and will give shelter. They will never again be hungry, and they will never thirst. They will never be scorched by the heat of the sun, for the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe away every tear." It'll be Sabbath every day. There is a rest for people of God. So no matter what man's doing to you, we have through faith, through the eyes of God, we see the end, and it's peace at the end of that tunnel. Yeah. That we may suffer in this life, but we suffering to an end. Are you going to be like a lamb? It says, "Be wise as serpents, but harmless as a dove." Are you going to give it all over to Jesus? Are you going to humble yourself under his hand and resist the devil? See, because the devil wants you to fight back. He wants you to become like him. He wants you to, every insult somebody hurl at you, you insult them back. He wants you to be reviled and boastful and cruel. He wants you to be as a savage. But are you going to be like your leader? Are you going to be like Jesus Christ? Meek, mild, and humble. Letting God fight those battles. Letting him take your life. He says, "I lay down my life, and God has given me power to take it back up again." That's power in suffering. That's power in the blood of the Lamb. In the blood, that precious blood, the significance of that blood, if that I drink of that blood, oh, but it's a bitter cup. But the end result is sweet. But we must drink ye all of it. So whatever men do to you, whatever you do to least of these, you've done it unto me. That's what he said, isn't it? Whatever you do to them, you're doing it to Jesus. So whatever man does to you, you put it in God's hand. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this day, Lord God, being washed in your blood, Lord God, strengthen us in your way and your word. Help us, Lord God, to submit ourselves unto you, Lord God, and to resist the devil. Help us, Lord God, to allow you to fight our battles and be strengthened by your spirit, and to be continually washed and sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.